This is Crystal having a conversation with Talk Pop C's resident philosopher Andrew at Lincoln Terrace Park in Brooklyn. It is September 2019.
Hello, I'm Andrew. I'm the resident philosopher today at Talk Pop C podcast, and I am with
Crystal. I am a business communication major at DeVry University. And I like to think I'm pretty creative. Like, I do a lot of sketch work, and I also design clothes.
Great. So tell me about your experience with fashion, I guess. It's a pretty natural thing, I think, for us to want to be interested in, you know, the way we are perceived by the outside world, you know, what we're wearing, but also, you know, a way as to, like, you know, bond with other people. So tell me about your experience with fashion.
So I would say since I was like in high school, which was a couple of years ago, like maybe about 5 years ago or so, I used to make my own clothes because I just didn't want to wear what everybody else was wearing. So I would design like my own tops or pants. And I had a phase where I would design jean jackets and make bows. A lot of people used to say I should sell them, but I never thought much to sell them because I figured I just wanted to be in my own clothing. So I wanted to look a little different. And everything was actually hand sewn. I remember my mother bought me a sewing machine for Christmas one year. I still have never touched it or learned how to work it. I just usually do the hand sewing thing. And as far as fashion, I think, I don't know, I like it. I just like to have my own little comfortable, cool, laid back style sometimes.
Is there anyone who you find particularly inspiring, maybe in pop culture, who you just love their look, or do you go out searching for those things?
I wouldn't say I'm necessarily inspired like by celebrities or anything, but I would say just in general, like people I see every day, I would see like a lot of like maybe urban wear to me, I think is fascinating, or like I like to mix it up a little bit. Sometimes I like to dress a little cute and sassy. So I kind of try to mix that both into one. But nice. I would say everyday culture and everyday lifestyle is what inspires me.
Great. So you said, are you from Brooklyn?
Yes, I am.
What neighborhood are you from?
Crown Heights.
Oh, so you're from right here.
Yeah, right here.
Awesome. So the general topic of this podcast today has been art and cognition. Mm-hmm. And we can just think of cognition as a fancy way of saying thinking. The one thing that you said that was interesting was that your inspiration is just from looking at people on the street. And most people, maybe you would ask them about fashion and they would give you a response, you know, like you were kind of gesturing at, maybe like a celebrity would inspire them. But I like this idea of just going out into the world and peering out, seeing what you see, and really like taking those ideas just from people who might not necessarily even be trying to be influential, but just taking that. So when you go out onto the street, are your eyes always kind of fixed to seeing something new, or is that kind of thing something that just happens accidental?
I think it's something that happens accidental. It's not necessarily that I go out and look for it, but I feel like sometimes I see somebody dressed quite like interesting and it's like, oh, okay, well, that, you know, that kind of pulls my eye. And so usually, like, you know, when you go to the more urban areas, maybe like Williamsburg or Soho or something, like I'm always seeing somebody in something fashionable, something different. And to me, like, whatever catches my attention, it's like, I think that's pretty dope. And I'll try and incorporate that myself. But I still want to put my own little twist on it and still have my own little style.
Yeah. So you kind of have like in the back of your mind, like, what can I do with it? You know, how can I make this me? So one thing I was thinking about, you know, in previous conversations was that there's kind of like this process that you go on in your head where you see something, you put in your imagination and you kind of like, you know, imagine what you would do with it. Do you find yourself going through that process a lot when you're thinking about?
I do, actually. Also, not like even just the people I see in general, but Instagram, I would say, is also a big influence for that. There's a lot of like blogs on Instagram and sometimes you see something like really nice and it's like, okay, well, that caught my eye. I kind of want to incorporate that. But I would say like, yeah, I pretty much like think of it in my mind first and then it'll come out. I'll come out with the actual product. but not necessarily that it always goes the right way. Sometimes you think of something in your mind looking a certain way and it doesn't always come out that way.
Oh, totally, yeah.
But I think for the most part, it comes out how I want it to.
So, yeah, so I like this process. So we can relate it explicitly back to the topic of the podcast. This seems like a mental process, or like kind of like this thinking process that you go through where you're taking like stuff out in the world, you know, putting it in your head, putting even like taking other ideas from your head, like, you know, your own twist, you said, and then, you know, like putting something back into the world. So you can kind of see art as like this taking stuff in perception, running some processes on your mind and like bringing it back out into the world. So tell me more about yourself. Do you really identify with New York? Do you think, you know, are you born and raised and everything like that?
Yes, I was born and raised in Brooklyn, New York. I lived in Crown Heights like my whole life. My mom is from St. Vincent and my dad is from Barbados. So I identify heavily with the Caribbean culture as well. Mm-hmm. I've been to the Caribbean a lot of times. So yeah. I've been back and forth kind of, but for the most part, Brooklyn, New York is like where I'm from, and this is just, it's a part of me. As far as me, myself, like, I would say like I'm heavily influenced on like art, animals, and nature. Like I've always said, I'm a hippie at heart. The only thing I don't do is smoke, but I'm a hippie at heart because I love peace and I love love.
Yeah.
So anything, you know, around that sort, I feel like sculpts me. I've done art my whole life. Like literally since elementary school, I've been interested in art. Mainly, like my main field would be sketching. And I think I'm pretty good at it. I haven't really had much of a drive for it lately. But I do want to get back into the art scenery because that's been a part of me my whole life.
Yeah. And do you find you're lacking, since you've been outside of it, are you lacking some sort of community? Is that kind of the reason why you want to go back into it?
Yeah. I feel like art was literally like my sense of like peace. Mm-hmm. That was like what I loved. And honestly, you know, like they say to do what you love in life. I feel like art was the thing I always wanted to do and always wanted to pursue. I just feel like in the adult world, sometimes you have to go a little bit left field and maybe like I'm in a whole different major in college. Like I'm doing business communication. Art is probably something I would really want to do. But as far as like money wise, I feel like I'm just trying to think on a business side for now.
Yeah. So I was talking about this someone. So, you know, maybe it's a misconception that art has to, you know, just exist for no reason, and that we should be more focused on, instead of like being focused on like being like an artist, quote unquote, we should be focused on making our everyday lives more creative or bringing like new twist onto things, you know. So there's nothing in my mind that, you know, would necessarily, you know, make it the case that you're major, or however you want to put it, cannot be turned into an art project in a certain way. I mean, if you kind of look at it the right way. Do you think that's true, or what do you think about that?
Well, I think somehow, I think art can definitely manifest into a business field. Like, I think it can go hand in hand. It just depends on how you look at the art. Like, you can go out there, you can make, you know, sketches, you can sell them, you can do paintings, you can sell them. And as far as like the whole fashion thing, me, how I made clothes, I could sell that. Like, I know I had a whole idea for, I'm really good at making jean jackets, like designing them. Like, I would design for my niece and for my son. And a lot of people would ask me, like, where did they get it from? And I would tell them, like, I made it. So I feel like the art can go hand in hand with the business. As far as art, I feel like it's a part of creativity, though. Like, I feel like, or creativity is a part of art. I feel like you have to have a creative mindset. And honestly, anything can be art if you think about it. Like, almost anything can be art.
So, yeah. So, I like this idea. Do you think that anything can be art just by focusing your attention on it in the right way? Kind of just...
Definitely. For me, nature is art. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm really big on nature. I love nature. I love the whole I love animals. So I feel like, honestly, a lot of days I would come out here in the park and I would sit and just take in the scenery. I think that's art right there. Like, it's beautiful. It's relaxing. And it helps put my mind in a, like, more at ease. So I definitely do think.
Yeah. What do you mean when you say you love animals?
I love, like, all animals. The only animals that I might have a problem with is insects. Those tend to freak me out. But as far as animals, I used to have a ferret who I loved dearly, and I miss her. And I also had a bearded dragon, and she passed as well, so I miss her. I do have a dog. She's a Yorkie. Her name is Cleo. And I used to have a pit bull who we gave away to a family friend, and her name was Laura. I had fish, I had crabs, I had, I think that was about it. But, like, honestly, like, I just fall in love with any kind of animal. Like, if I could, I always said that if I were ever to get, like, really rich, I want my own backyard biodome. Like, I want a mini rainforest or with just a bunch of beautiful animals. I think that would be, make my life complete, honestly.
Yeah. No, I like this idea. So I like this idea of nature being art. And so you seem to be just associating art just with, like, either pure beauty or this pure feeling that you get.
Definitely. Like I said, I think art was always, like, my main sense of peace. So it's like I associate pure beauty for, like, art. Like, I can look at a person and just, I take that into more of, like, depth. Like, I look at everything with a keen eye. Like, I would say, to me, I can look at a leaf. Somebody might not look at that leaf the same, but I'm looking at the colors or the way it's shaped, and then I start to go into, like, a lot of deep thinking. But I think, I don't know, that might just be me. I look at everything with a deeper thinking.
Nice. Yeah, no, that's all. I mean, it's kind of like this aspect of art that it's almost, it has to bring this emotion to it, or else it doesn't, like, count as art in a certain sense.
I really think so as well.
Yeah. So I was talking about this with the last guest. It seems like one really important thing for, you know, the relationship between art and thinking is kind of like sometimes what counts as art has nothing to do with thinking at all. It could just have to do with the emotion that it brings. You know, this idea that, you know, the reason why you identify art with nature is not because of, It's basically because of the emotion, right? Or the feeling you get when you're around it. Yeah,
certainly. And even, like, a couple of my pieces, like, that I have sketched, it was, like, some of them had, like, a lot of deeper meaning to it. Like, I had stories behind them. And I try to do that with a lot of my artwork. Even my tattoos. I have tattoos, and every tattoo I have, to me, it has to have some sort of meaning to it. I don't just get them for no reason. Like, every tattoo tells a story or it tells a meaning.
Yeah.
And the same goes for my art in most cases. Like, I have pictures that might look a little sad and, you know, people would wonder. But I feel like I like to tell stories in my artwork. If it doesn't tell a story, it's like, you know, where does it really take somebody's mind?
Yeah. So maybe we have a more cognitive aspect here with the storytelling. Yeah, so I'm a fan of tattoos too.
I have a bunch.
Yeah.
Really?
And I think that's one way of kind of this, like, maybe a non-traditional way of expressing your creative self. But I like this idea that when you get the tattoo that you have to have, like, there's always a certain meaning behind it. And it kind of seems shallow maybe if you have a tattoo without a specific meaning. So I like that idea too. So there are a lot of things that seem to be going wrong that around, like, art. You know, one idea is just, like, this pure emotional thing it gives you.
Yeah.
But another thing that seems important to you is that it's kind of telling you something. It's kind of communicating a message. Did you say that's right?
I think so. I mean, to each his own. Like, if somebody wants to get a tattoo that is just, like, completely random, like, go ahead. Like, you know, who knows? Maybe one day I might be down for, like, a random tattoo if I'm having the right time with my friends or something. But I feel like, I don't know, me personally, I just, if I want something on my body that I know is going to stick there, it's like, I want it to have a beautiful meaning. Like, because that's a part of me. It's a part of my body. I want to be able to tell a story with me. Like, I want somebody to look at my tattoos and know that, okay, well, this might mean something to her. This is a part of her. Like, I feel like I'm my best piece of art. Like, So if I'm going to put art on my body, I want it to make a story for myself.
Yeah. Cool. So we have a lot of different ideas floating around here. How in your... We talked a little bit about your everyday life. You seemed a little shy about your influences, but I'll keep pressing. So what are the things you enjoy? Like, out, you know, like, what... Do you like pop music, or what kind of movies are you
interested in? I'm very versatile with music, actually. And a lot of people probably wouldn't even think this when they look at me, but I love country music. But it's an old school country music. Like,
yeah.
Not necessarily, you know, today's country music, but I like Kenny Rogers or like Dolly Parton or George Strait, people like that. And I'm influenced by like a lot of old school R&B. I like reggae music. I think reggae music tells kind of a story. It's mellow, like it mellows me out. I'm for all kinds of music, and I'm for all kinds of music. It's just, I would say my main liking to music would be R&B or reggae and country.
Cool. So, I mean, that's a cool mix in there. And, like, you talked about the emotional aspect of it. But I like this storytelling aspect of it. So one distinct thing I think of country music and reggae, too, is they tell stories, you know.
Definitely.
That they're, you know, they're trying to send you a message, especially in Dolly Parton's music, I think, for sure. You know, it's kind of like music that you can just, you know, listen to and reflect on.
Yeah, I think that was, like, the stages where music was good because it told stories, like... I'm kind of an old soul, so even, like, when it comes to reggae music, I like the older school reggae music. I don't really, you know, I'm not much of a fan of today's music, but I feel like back then, they told a lot of deeper meanings, and like I said, I'm a person that's so stuck on deep meaning. I don't know. I think it's just because of some things I've dealt with in life. It's like I look at everything different. I look at the world different. I look at nature different. I look at people different, but I try to show love everywhere. Like, I love to love people. I love to love nature. I love to love the earth. Like, that's just me.
Awesome. Yeah. So we got a couple things going around, you know, talking to you. You know, one thing is kind of like the emotional aspect seems super important to you, kind of like just a pure, phenomenal, good feeling that you get. Also the storytelling aspect. So these are kind of relating it back to our topic, art and cognition. Like, seems like two, like, storytelling and meaning and communication, that's definitely something that really requires thinking, I think. But on the other aspect, like, this emotion or the emotional stuff, you know, that doesn't require thinking at all. So you kind of have these two aspects of art that, you know, you kind of need both of them, but they're very different from each other.
I believe so.
Yeah.
Like, I think the thinking aspect and the emotional aspect is important to it. Usually, you know, I feel like the thinking part comes from what you plan to do with your art.
Right? Yeah.
And the emotional is what you feel after the product is done.
Yeah, no, that definitely goes back to some of the earlier discussions I was having. Like, this kind of like the reason why you might look at art or perform art is for the feeling, but there's clearly this cognitive thing that goes into making it or goes into producing it, kind of like with the imaginative process we were talking about earlier, you know, seeing things in the world and then kind of thinking about it and then creating it afterwards. So yeah, so that it seems, so it's incredibly interesting how you know, maybe this is just a general rule about all things that humans do, you know, you can't just focus on the thinking aspect of it or the emotional aspect of it. You kind of need this harmony between the two. Do you find that more generally in life, maybe? Is that?
I think so. I think in life itself, you have to think before you do a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
There's always a effect to every cause. So yeah. I feel like it's important to think. And as far as the emotional aspect, I feel like sometimes you have to put yourself in another person's position or in a certain position to feel what something else or what someone else may feel. So as far as, like, if I see a person crying, I may not know that person, but the emotion in me would be to go up to that person and ask if they're okay. I think it's important to have a heart. Like, yeah. You just never know what somebody's going through.
Yeah. Very cool. Very cool. So you're our last guest. So I'm just going to recap some of the things that I think that I've found incredibly surprising from all my conversations. One of them definitely has to do with this imaginative process that seemed to be in the back of the mind, of like, just seemed to be something that was obvious to a lot of people when I brought it up to them, was just that you have to, like, your experience with the world, taking those things and, you know, bringing them up in the imagination and kind of like, and then using that process to create something else seems to be something that's really tied down to like the human experience, maybe. And I think that's not just something that has to do with art or cognition. I just think that's just how we as humans kind of like, you know, take in the world around us. So we can really learn about something reflecting on art and, you know, how it relates to our thinking. So I'm really glad that I could, you know, work through this kind of like, kind of philosophy with you. It's really exciting. Do it in real time.
I enjoyed it. Like, I'm glad I could give you guys my thoughts.
Resident philosopher Andrew Rubner from Rutgers speaks with Crystal, who's from Crown Heights and a business student at DeVry College. In this series of Art and Cognition, this particular conversation hovers over the idea that art is just emotional and not cognitive, but then wavers and points to the narrative and thus cognitive part in art. A lover and maker of fashion, Crystal talks about what makes both fashion and art in general meaningful to her. The conversation at first seems to hint at her thinking that something is art because it is emotional and makes her feel a certain way. And resident philosopher Rubner comments on that. He points out that she seems to think art is art because it is emotional and not cognitive. There is a long tradition of that point of view, including, of course, Suzanne Langer's writing on it, but probably extending even further back to Aristotle's cathartic art. We care about art because it takes us through the emotional journey wherein we are transformed and emotions are released. The teapot theory, letting off steam. But then Crystal changes directions a bit and talks about tattoos and how she says every tattoo that she has must have meaning. She doesn't want any tattoo that doesn't tell a story. But Andrew points out that that makes the art a bit more cognitive. It is perhaps about thinking after all. The conversation shifts again after Andrew asks her about music, and she says she likes, despite the fact that some people are surprised by it, as she's from a Caribbean family, she likes traditional country music, Kenny Rogers, George Strait, Dolly Parton, as well as reggae music, because both types of music kind of tell a story. Andrew points out that this is cognitive. The storytelling puts one into thought and not just emotion. At the end, Andrew stops and reflects on the general point that the divide between thinking and feeling is perhaps artificial, and the two are not mutually exclusive. Summarizing a point he saw repeated in all the conversations of the day that he heard, he finishes by saying that in the imaginative process, you first see things in the world, you think about it, and then you create art about it afterwards. It involves both thinking and feeling. This is true, he thinks, about everything humans do. You can't just think about the thinking aspect or the feeling aspect. There has to be a harmony between the two.